Welcome to Finding Joy in Education, the podcast that celebrates the positive and uplifting stories from the world of education. I'm your host, Sarah Painter, honored to be your guide on this journey through the bright spots in classrooms and schools across Pinellas County and beyond. As the 2022 Florida Teacher of the Year, I've had the privilege of witnessing incredible moments of inspiration and passion within the education community. In each episode, we'll bring you stories that showcase the remarkable work of educators, students, and schools, highlighting the joy, the creativity, and the innovation. Whether it's a groundbreaking teaching method, a student's triumph, or a school-wide initiative making a difference, we'll uncover the heartwarming tales that remind us why education is such a powerful force for positive change. Join me as we dive into the stories that inspire, motivate, and remind us all that despite the challenges, there is joy to be found in every classroom. Because in education, it's not just about what we teach, it's about the impact we make and the joy we find along the way. This is Finding Joy in Education. Begin our segment called Toy Stories, where I interview a teacher of the year and I ask them about their experiences, their challenges, and the sources of joy in teaching. Joining us today is Dr. Adam Zell from Azalea Middle School. Dr. Zell, I begin every single guest with a question. I ask, what's your story? So share with us what led you to become a teacher.
Well, my sister was a teacher. And every teacher I've ever known, especially my sister and her husband, have just found such incredible joy in teaching. They just absolutely loved it. And my wife kind of gets upset with me because I can never figure out what I want to do when I grow up. So this is about my fourth or fifth career.
Okay.
But as I've looked over my careers, the things that I most enjoyed were the times when I was actually teaching, The times when I was actually teaching someone new. So when I was a financial consultant, I wasn't a fan of the sales portion, but I loved it when I could teach someone about investing and teach someone what they needed to do. When I was in other careers, it was the teaching portion that really enjoyed it. So my wife and I, about 7 or 8 years ago now, moved back to Pinellas County, and I was looking at making a career change, and I was trying to decide what I wanted to do. And I thought, you know, I've always joked or talked about becoming a teacher. Let's try.
Let's just see what happens.
And it's worked out really well.
I love it. I would say it's worked out very well.
I know. I just love every day going to work. I love every day with my kids. I love the aha moments in their eyes.
I love it. So tell us a little bit about what you teach.
So I teach, for the past couple of years, I've taught algebra and geometry. Once in a while, a little bit of pre-algebra, but primarily algebra and geometry. This year, I've had a real switch, and I'm teaching algebra and pre-AP world history.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So that history and math is kind of a cool combination.
I love it.
But one of my theories is that they're actually the same class.
Well, tell me more. How is that even possible?
Well, see, nowadays, thanks to these phones we have in our pocket, you have all the history knowledge you want, right at your fingertips.
Sure.
So history is no longer a matter of learning dates and facts. Mm-hmm. It's more a matter of teaching you to think historically.
Okay.
How to analyze situations, how to problem solve. And so history is now very heavily document-based, source-based, and explorations and people exploring and thinking historically. In algebra, you really know all the math you need to know. You know how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide.
Okay, I'm with you.
So in algebra, we're now teaching you how to take the math you know and use it to solve problems. It's all about problem solving. So both classes are about thinking skills and problem solving skills.
I love
it. So they're actually very related.
Did y'all see that connection he just made? I mean, it absolutely stands why you were named the Pinellas County Teacher of the Year. So speaking of being named the Pinellas County Teacher of the Year, I want to hear about that journey. What, if anything, has changed since you were named the Teacher of the Year?
I've been a lot busier since I was named Teacher of the Year.
It's been
just the most incredibly fun year.
So what opportunities have you been given?
So some of the opportunities, one, I've served on a couple of different district committees, which has given me insight into things that are happening at the district. I wish every teacher could have this opportunity because Pinellas County is such an incredible place.
Yes.
And there are so many neat things going on that I never knew about. That I get to go back to my school and tell everyone about. Even things like the Certificate of Distinction for all the support personnel. I had never heard of that, and I spoke at that breakfast.
I love it.
As part of the district's accreditation team, sitting in the meetings and listening to what's going on in professional development and some of the new initiatives they've got coming up. Being part of the collective...
bargaining?
No, no, not the collective bargaining.
Dang it. I thought I had it.
the new group we've got going on. So the one big moment or the one big opportunity or the, I don't know.
Sure, go ahead.
But looking at ways we're mentoring new teachers and the ways we're working on teacher retention.
Love it.
And seeing some of the new initiatives we've got there. Or even I've been, had the opportunity to visit a number of other schools.
I think that's one of the most profound experiences as a Teacher of the Year is getting able to kind of situate our job within a larger context and to see how it plays out across the district, but also across the state. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about education is the connectedness between our districts within the state of Florida.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things with being Teacher of the Year is as Teacher of the Year, all the different district Teachers of the Year connect together. And that has been an incredible.
And that's something you get to take with you forever. And I think the connections that you've made within those district teachers of the year are going to carry you throughout your career. I just love when I'm thinking of something or someone asks me a question, I'm like, I don't know the answer to that. Oh, but I know that somebody in Columbia County does. And I can point them to other people. And I think that's what we should be doing as educators, because like you said, not everyone gets this opportunity. So I feel like it's our responsibility, Dr. Zell, to pass the torch and to make sure we're sharing all the wonderful things that are happening. So I want to hear a little bit from you about the joy of teaching. And I'm wondering, do you have a joy story that you could share with us today? And it could be a story about a current student or a former student, but specifically a moment that brought you joy or brought a student joy and made you appreciate the impact that you have on the lives of students.
I mean, there's so many stories I could share. It's tough to come up with one. I mean, just on a quick level, I think getting invited to high school graduations or high school graduation parties, I'm a middle school teacher.
Right.
And to have a student 4 years later think, oh, I want to call Dr. Zale and invite him to our graduation is just kind of the biggest honor you could imagine.
Absolutely.
Anytime I get one of those, I think that just... It means so much more to me than that student could possibly imagine.
Absolutely. It's kind of like a hindsight of your impact, right? It's like, wow, I really did matter outside of just that year that I had them in my classroom.
And I love it when students come back and visit.
Absolutely. You
know. But I also think of a student I had last year. She was a young lady who, so in algebra, you're supposed to have taken accelerated math in seventh grade and receive at least a 3 on the PM3 testing in order to be allowed to go into algebra. Last year, on the first day of school, I was walking to the cafeteria and I had a young lady come running up to me and say, Dr. Zale, you taught my older sister. Doesn't that mean you have to teach the younger sister too?
Is it like BOGO now?
Apparently
so. Buy one, get one free.
And no, it's not. But her older sister was a great young lady. And so I said, yeah, let me go talk to Miss McNeil. And I spoke to her and we got this young lady moved from pre-algebra into my algebra class.
I love
it. Which she was not supposed to be in because she didn't have the test scores, didn't. And she really wanted to be in algebra. And so she worked her tail off all year, ended up with a 4 on the EOC at the end of the year.
And that's just
fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. That's
and
so
to see that growth of that student as she learned and got excited and staying in touch with her. And she's been emailing me back that she wishes she was back in algebra instead of geometry.
I think one of my favorite things about that is the connections we make with their families. Because when we do get sibling groups like that, it's like coming home. It's like, I already know this family. They know me. They know my way of work. And I just imagine the comfort that must be to those families to know that they're in good hands when they have you. So one last thing I want to ask you, you know, our podcast is about finding joy in education, but without ignoring that it's difficult right now. So what advice would you give to future teachers or teachers that are currently in the field that might be feeling some struggles? What advice would you give about finding joy and staying positive no matter what?
I would say it's all about the kids. It's about, I mean, I just, that's what gets me excited each day to go. Mm-hmm. It's about the kids. I love spending time with my kids. I get to school early and I tutor before school. I teach 7 out of 7. My classroom is packed with kids who eat lunch with me. I tutor after school. So I'm with kids for like 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have those kids who can just frustrate the heck out of you. Right. I mean, we've all got them in our classrooms, sure. The kids who... And 3 years ago, I had a young man who I think about him a lot because he's come back to visit, who got transferred to my class at the end of the first 9 weeks because he just, the other pre-algebra teacher, I was teaching pre-algebra that year, mm-hmm. The two of them just butted heads. Sure. And couldn't get along. Got moved into my class, and he was a young man in my class at the beginning, and he knows I talk about him this way. Mm-hmm. Took probably till March before we made a breakthrough, mm-hmm. and our relationship began to improve. But by the end of the year, he was one of my favorite kids. I loved him, and he comes back to visit. He's great.
And we show them that nothing they do is going to cause us to not keep trying for them or keep advocating for them. That's when that trust is built, and they turn a corner. And they're like, okay, he's for real. He's here for me. He's here to help me be successful. I love to hear that story, Dr. Sal. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today and sharing your joy stories as well as your toy stories. And I look forward to seeing what else you accomplish in our district. So thank you again.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to our next segment, which is our Leadership Lens segment. In this piece, we're going to explore the vision of education through leadership strategies and initiatives. We want to discuss the impact of effective leadership on finding joy in education. And who better to do that with than our very own superintendent of Pinellas County Schools, Mr. Kevin Hendrick. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Hendrick. And I will ask every guest this first question. What's your story?
Well, thanks for having me, Sarah. Really, really excited about this podcast and your leadership in doing so. My story as an educator really stems from, I guess, going back to high school, where my dad, as we were thinking about, you know, what are you going to do with your life? My parents always told me, you're going to go to college. They didn't go to college, but they just knew, they told me, you're going to go. They didn't know how I was going to get there, how we're going to pay for it, any of those things. Mm-hmm. But my dad and my parents really both were, you know, sort of blue-collar workers, went to work every day, different jobs. And they just said, my dad said, do something you want to enjoy every day for the rest of your life because you're going to do it for the rest of your life.
Right.
And so, you know, for almost 30 years, I've been a teacher, an administrator, and I've never woken up in the morning and thought, oh, I don't want to do this today. You know, it's always been fun and something I look forward to every single day. So I went to college to be a social studies teacher. I got a job as a social studies teacher, actually a math teacher my first year at Pinellas Park High School. I interned there in social studies. They really liked me and said, we don't have social studies, but do you think you could teach math? I said, sure.
You said, I can do anything for a year.
Absolutely. So I taught at Pinellas Park for a year and then Dunedin High School for 7 years and then became a school-based administrator, principal at Northeast High eventually for 9 years. And then at the district level, 5 years as chief academic officer, and now in my second year as superintendent.
Well, we are very excited to be under your leadership.
Thank you. I love
the direction that our district is going in. And I think that there are many opportunities to bring joy to this profession.
Absolutely.
So speaking of that, I'd love for you to share an example of a program or an initiative that you think is bringing a sense of joy and excitement right now to Pinellas County Schools.
I think in the last 2 years as superintendent, I've tried to emphasize the student experience, and that has taken a lot of different meanings in different ways. But in doing that, I've seen lots of joy in people who have said, this is something that we've added under this idea of the student experience. So let me give you a couple of examples. One of those, we just recently held the Championship for Future Cities competition. It's a middle school, sixth grade competition where students at their schools in teams design this futuristic city 100 years from now that would be completely resilient to hurricanes.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
So they designed it, they built it, and then they had to compete at their school. There was a school level winner. The winners came to the district office and competed for a champion at the district level. And it was Seminole Middle School's team that happened to win. But I've seen that in a number of different competitions that we've done. And it's not about winning and losing. It's about really getting excited about something that you enjoy. And
Absolutely. So
that's been one. We recently also in middle school had an indoor soccer championship that I believe Morgan Fitzgerald was the district-wide champion. Just things that kids are excited to come to school. There has to be a reason that I get excited to come to school. And so whether it's Future Cities, maybe it's a spelling bee that's going on right now in a lot of our schools, whatever that is, there's got to be a reason that you want to come. So those are a few examples.
Absolutely. I love that you've thought of that, that you've put yourself in the shoes of the students, because honestly, that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
We're here to bring them back and keep coming back.
Absolutely.
So what were some of those evidences of joy? How did you know it brought joy to those students?
So one of the things that is really exciting to me when you see students competing in front of their parents or their teachers is I so often look at the crowd and not the students. Mm. The students are excited. You can see them.
Sure.
But the look in the parents' faces when they see their children doing something that makes them proud, it just takes, it's everything you want as an educator.
I love it. As a parent myself, you are 100% right. It's seeing the experience through their eyes and the joy it brings them to be participating. And that communication piece and that collaboration piece, those are skills that they're going to need outside of school. So the fact that we're highlighting them and accentuating them and uplifting them so that they are capable of doing that outside of school is just absolutely incredible. So speaking of joy, how do you celebrate the achievements and successes of the teachers in the district?
I say all the time, great teachers solve all of our problems, right? Whether it's discipline, cell phones, academic achievement, social emotional issues. Great teachers, when students walk into their classroom, students rise up, right? And sometimes that's because they are just, it's a joyous place to be. Sometimes it's because the expectations are so high.
Yes.
Students want to be pushed to that. But when you talk about celebrating the joy in teachers, I mean, there's the formal ways that we do it, such as the Teacher of the Year and some of those things, the Emerging Teacher of the Year, all of those things. But I really, you know, I visit a lot of schools, I visit a lot of classrooms, and I want teachers to know that we're all just teachers. And so when I visit, I like to give feedback. When I walk outside the classroom, I always ask the principal, tell me the feedback you'd give that teacher. And so often, I don't want to say so often, but sometimes principals are always looking for, like, what is it that they could have done better, right?
Sure.
And I always am the one that says, okay, so they were prepared. They planned. It was clear that they talked to these.
Yes.
So what are all the things that they did well?
Yes.
And then we can find one or two things that we can all improve upon.
I love it.
There's something I can improve upon in everything I do.
It's an asset-based focus,
right?
And I think when I traveled as the Florida Teacher of the Year, that was my first question to every single campus I stepped foot on. What are you celebrating today? Mm-hmm. What is going well today? And I think wherever we stare, we steer.
Absolutely.
So if we're looking for moments of celebration, we're going to see them more often. But I always say a celebrated teacher will celebrate students.
Absolutely.
So how do you see examples of that through your school visits? Where do you see students being celebrated when you walk into classrooms?
Students and teachers, you know, anytime we have walls everywhere in our schools, right?
Right.
So every one of those pieces of wall is an opportunity to celebrate. So whether it's a bulletin board that showcases the core values that people have been recognized for, or maybe it's improvements, maybe it's students who have gotten a certain level of dream box or whatever it is, there's ways to celebrate students all the time. I'm so amazed at the classroom cultures that some teachers create with pictures of their students and the stories that they write about their families and the ways in which they engage them in the classroom culture. Of course, our elementary teachers do it a little bit better, but they also maybe only have, you know, not as many students.
Sure.
But I've seen it in secondary as well, where teachers create these classroom cultures where students just feel so welcomed, accepted, and celebrated.
Absolutely.
And so it can be through things on the wall. It can be through comments. And oftentimes it's just reinforcing just little things. I like your shoes today, Sarah. I really like the fact that you went online last night and did your homework.
Mm-hmm.
even if it wasn't all right, you tried, right?
Right.
We're celebrating, like you said, from that asset approach.
Yes.
And that's, I see it all over our district.
And what I love about it is you can feel it when you walk into a room, right?
Absolutely.
Like you walk in and you can tell this is a room that celebrates students. Mm-hmm. And I think if we feel it within seconds, imagine how those students feel.
They do.
When they're in there. So I'm going to ask you to dig back into your memory. And I want you to think about a joy story connected to you as either an administrator or a teacher. A moment that when you look back on it and you think about that memory, it brings you joy because you remember the impact that you had on either a student's life or a teacher's life. Can you share a joy story with us?
You know, when you're a teacher for so long, you have a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, because I live in this community, I run into people everywhere. My family is like, really? Another person, you know? but I guess, you know, let me say a couple of things. Number one, I teach my own son as we're out in the community and people say, oh, Mr. Hendrick, I remember you from here, from there. Everything you do, people remember you by. And so how we treat people, the way in which we interact with them, the way that we listen to them is really, really important forever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just sort of a general way of work that as educators, we should always be understanding that whether it's fair or not fair, our actions are always held up a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Because people are going to remember us forever. In terms of a specific joy, there's a lot. I think one of the moments I think back to when I was an intern teacher, and I was 20 years old in college. I was teaching students that were 17 and 18.
Oh my gosh.
In high school. And, you know, you make mistakes.
Like sure.
Every minute you're making
right.
a mistake. But at the end of that internship experience, there was a student who was from another country, and she came up to me and gave me a tie that I still have to this day. It's, you know, 30 years old now.
Oh.
But just for the impact that I made on her, English was not her first language,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't ESOL endorsed. That wasn't even a thing 30 years ago. But I tried to make every effort as possible to help. And I just always remember some of those things that I did in my internship or even in my first couple of years that, you know, you look back and you're like, oh, I could have done so much better.
Absolutely, yes.
But because they knew you were trying,
yeah.
they knew you cared. And so it was good, right?
And you know, it always comes back down to relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the connections, it's the relationships, it's overcoming the barriers and the obstacles and seeing past the deficits to more of an asset-based approach, which sounds like exactly how you're leading our district, which we are so very grateful for. So I just want to know, last question, what do you believe are the key elements of a joyful and successful educational experience?
Well, I said it before, but people have to want to come to work. Students need to want to come to school.
Mm.
I think so many teachers became teachers because school was a place of joy for them.
Yes.
They enjoyed school. It was a place maybe of refuge from their family at home, or it was a place where people valued them. And so it was a good experience. That has to be the part that, you know, what are those essential elements? We have to have great teachers.
Sure.
I mean, great teachers solve so many of our problems for our students.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to have, I mean, above the teachers and in concert with teachers, the people that are supporting our teachers have to be people who understand what teachers need in a classroom,
yes.
right? So whether that's air conditioning or whiteboard markers or a bulb that works.
Yes, yes. Right?
And how do we get those things, you know, how do we support? So we just need to understand that those things are critical for that. One of the things that I think also is really important, Sarah, is just this idea of we're all here to serve our students.
Yes.
None of us are any more important than the children in front of us. And so as long as we understand that,
mm-hmm.
Those experiences will be joyful and our students will see that every single day. There's no replacing great teachers.
Beautiful.
And so excited that this podcast is going to highlight some of those joyful moments that make great teachers even better.
Absolutely. You know, I once heard it explained that there's really only two roles in education. You're either a teacher or a supporter of teachers. So what you just said was spot on. Well, Mr. Hendrick, thank you so much for joining us today and for shining a light on some joy stories and helping us remember what it is that makes our district so incredible. Thank you for being here today and for your time. I look forward to seeing incredible achievements with our district under your leadership.
Thanks, Sarah. Appreciate it and can't wait to hear all of these episodes in the coming weeks and months.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us for our next segment, which is called Finding Joy in Education. We just heard from Pinellas County Superintendent of Schools, Mr. Kevin Hendrick. And joining me today, we have some educators from right here in Pinellas County. Before we begin, I want to share a little bit of background about these ladies that are here in front of me. We are what call ourselves the Golden Girls. And honestly, we met years ago on an ELA focus group for fifth grade. And we bonded and we shared text messages and created a group thread. And what really solidified our friendship and our connection was teaching through the pandemic. At that time, we really relied on each other to get us through. We learned how to manage teams, how to mute and unmute and share our screens. So joining me today, we have Laura Mozell from Madeira Beach Fundamental. We have Stacy Da Silva, who's a fifth grade teacher at Mount Vernon. And we have Katie Wilson, an instructional staff developer here in Pinellas County. And I'm going to let them share a little bit about themselves. We're going to start with Laura. Laura, I ask every guest, what's your story?
My story begins when I was in third grade and I just idolized my teacher. I thought she was inspiring and just such a joy to be in her class every day. And so I said, I want to do that. I want to be that for someone else.
Yes.
And so I got my Bright Futures hours by volunteering in schools, and I babysat so I could get experience with kids of different ages so that I would have all of the knowledge and background experience, hopefully, that would help me be a good candidate for teaching. And I started substituting while I was working on a master's degree so that I could pick different grade levels and see what kind of environments I was interested in. And then I ended up taking over for a teacher who left on maternity leave in a third grade class, actually in Hillsborough County, which was a great jumping ground for starting my career because it was kind of already set up. And so I could kind of just get my feet wet and continue what she had already started while also deciding, okay, I'm going to definitely do that. And I'm not going to do that.
I love it. That's great.
And then, I came over to Pinellas and I taught 6 years of third grade at Fairmount Park Elementary, which was a wonderful experience. I loved every moment with those kids and being someone who they could count on.
Sure.
I was there every day and was someone reliable that they could expect to see with a smile on their face every day, which is not maybe what all of them experienced outside of school.
Sure.
So that was a blessing. And then I transferred to Madeira Beach Fundamental, and I taught fourth grade, team taught math science. I did that for 3 years, and now I'm on my, 20th year of teaching in Pinellas in fifth grade. So I've done the last chunk of time in fifth, and when I taught third, I thought, this is my favorite, and I taught fourth, oh, this is the best, and now that I'm in fifth, hands down.
Absolutely. I loved
totally
it. Every time I went up a grade, I was like, okay, this is the grade
this
I love.
The best.
And then when I got to fifth, I was like, oh my gosh, and they get my jokes. I'm staying here. Like,
and I can be
sarcastic. Yes.
And
I love
what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
it is. It's like the magical grade level.
Really
I agree,
is.
Which is what brought us all together as
for sure.
well.
For
so
sure.
Stacey, what's your story?
Mine is pretty similar to Laura's. I feel like growing up, I was always a kid's kid. I loved kids. No matter how old I was, all the kids came knocking on my door, even like in middle school, high school, the little kids on the street. I was big into babysitting. And then I, funny enough, got into fifth grade, which I teach now. And my fifth grade teacher was beyond. She was amazing. She just retired probably about 5 years ago from Seminole Elementary. So I just always wanted to be a teacher, and my best friend as well. We both went through St. Pete College. Funny enough, I interned at Southern Oak where Katie taught. So we knew each other before the focus group, kind of. And I had the most amazing CCT of all time. Her name was Bonnie Foley. And she threw me in the fire, basically, and said, you know, you're going to do as much as you possibly can while you're here. So I was there for a practicum, and she asked me to stay for my final internship. And you're supposed to take over, you know, after a few weeks.
Right.
And that first day, she was like, the class is yours. Good luck.
Oh, my
And there
gosh.
Was a back room, and there was other interns, and one of the guys, he works at Southern Oak now. And the teachers would go into this back room and literally let us just be the teachers and pop in and make sure we were okay. And that taught me how to be a teacher. She really just threw me in and said, you can do this, you got this. From there, I went to 74th Street. I taught second grade for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Thought I was always going to be in second grade. Then they told me I was going to fifth grade. I said, no, I'm not.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, I'm not. And then I went. I got to team with who I team now. And I don't think I could ever go back down to a lower grade. I love it. And I spent 6 total years at 74th Street, and now I'm in my 3rd year at Mount Vernon.
At Mount Vernon. Yep. Excellent. Katie, what's your story?
Well, similarly to the other girls, I too, I used to play school. Mm-hmm. Like it was either school, waitress, or I used to pretend to like be a cashier at the supermarket.
Yes.
And, but also it was my 4th and my 5th grade teacher that just, I went to the after school program. And so I would go to their rooms afterwards and help them clean. So it was like a combination of two of my favorite things, cleaning and being in the classroom.
Probably you could get money for doing that. You would have solidified all three.
Clapping the, you know, chalk erasers out back. So, it was, I just always knew the path that I wanted to be on. And so, I went to USF and I interned here in Pinellas. I interned at Madeira Beach. I interned at Bardmore and then at Southern Oak also. And that's what led me to my position at Southern Oak. And it was actually a long-term sub in first grade. And I thought the little babies to me, I thought that was my sweet spot.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then somebody retired and I got the spot in fifth grade. And I was so terrified of how big and what I thought were like just really big old kids. Right. And really, once I got up there, they're not.
They're not.
And I loved it. And I realized I never wanted to leave. Luckily, I didn't. So I taught fifth grade for 14 years. 12 of them were at Southern Oak. My final two were at Sawgrass. Mm-hmm. And now I am the fifth grade content lead for the ELA department. And
we're so proud of you. I know.
And I'm still living in the fifth grade world. So it's like it just, fifth grade is, I mean, obviously I'm biased and it is just the best grade to me. But it's like the perfect mix of they do get your sarcasm. Yep. They're old enough. They're still kids.
And they still love school. Mm-hmm. It's like they are still kids and it's like one of those last years where that innocence is still there before you send them to middle school.
Yeah. So I love it. And that's been my journey here.
I love it. So what I want us to spend the next few minutes talking about is maybe some joy stories, some stories of former students or current students, or even colleagues that we've had encounters with that remind us of our why and help us celebrate that impact that we have on the lives of students. So do any of you have a story you could share about maybe a student that brings joy to you when you think back on that story?
I'll go because I think we have had a shared experience through our stories of each other's students throughout the years. But a few years ago, a certain student really tugged at my heartstrings, really anybody that he interacted with or he didn't even have to interact with. And something about this role and me adjusting to it is still feeling like a community with kids and teachers without having my own classroom to build that. That was my favorite part was, you know, relationships first and everything else comes after. Sure. And so he, you know, we would decorate he had a walker and we would decorate it all, you know, with his permission. Mm-hmm. And we celebrated and championed for him in every way that was like so natural and so authentic and genuine. And I think he felt pretty special and pretty seen.
I love it.
Whereas otherwise, I don't know. I can't say that he didn't before.
Oh, he
but
did.
Oh, he
I
did. Think we were know. His biggest
champion. Yeah. I mean, Stacy and Laura and I were celebrating him just as well. And we never met him, but we just heard about him and heard the stories. And I think the most beautiful piece was the community you built in your classroom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is what shines through that story, is that you made it a space where every child was celebrated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they saw his disability. Mm-hmm. He was just another student in your classroom worth celebrating. And I just think it's so beautiful. So
it was wonderful. And it was something that you can't quantify or it just was this just such an authentic experience with community building with those kids that year. And I think it was something that they would take into middle school.
And that's what
them.
I imagine is what that story and that real life experience has done, not only for that student, but for those other students and how they now see people in their classes this year based on that experience. That's powerful, Katie.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Laura, do you have a joy story?
I don't know that I could pick just one. I feel like the connections that you make with kids, like you had said, Katie, relationships first, that's huge. And seeing them in the future, you know, seeing them, we, you know, being K-8, we get to watch kids, you know, further along maybe than some others that, you know, go to a different middle school. And then we have our, anyone who went to Madeira at any point when they're a senior can come back and wear their cap and gown, and they walk kindergarten graduates to their graduation, and they sit at the graduation. And so it's such a moment when they are walking by, and I'm, I mean, they change so much and to see them there. And then, you know, having kids write you letters or send you an email, or I just went to a college graduation of a former fourth grader of mine. I mean, it's that I think is where you really, you know, because in the day to day, you might not see all of the good work that you're doing.
Right.
And so sometimes the joy comes later.
You know, love it.
Fun in the day to day also, but it's nice to see kind of the fruits of your labor, and they remember you and they look back and want to connect with you years down the line, which is that's
the difference we make. Yes, I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, Stacey, what about you? Do you have a joy story?
So I think my joy, if you guys shared about class, like students, my joy story would have to be my teammate, Nicole Caltabalada. When I was teaching second grade my first year, she was first grade and she was across the hall. And she was kind of like my rock. She would always be there. She's always supported. She's the kindest human you'll ever meet in your life.
Mm-hmm. She is.
So the next year she moved to fifth grade and she was self-contained. And then when they told me I was going, I was like, no, I'm not. And then I was like, but do I have to teach them math and science? Because that's out of my realm. And they're like, no, you'd be teaming with Nicole. I was like, okay, I could do
that. I could try this. I like her.
And really, Nicole made me the teacher I am. She is patient. She is kind. She is loving. And I don't think I could do the day-to-day without her. She really is my rock and my joy every single day. And she took a year off when I went to Mount Vernon. But I got her back.
So yes.
She's been with me now. This is 2 years.
Spoiler alert.
And I told her
back.
That she's coming with me wherever I go.
Yeah.
So we will be old ladies in rocking chairs one day.
I love it. I love it. And I think that's what we are here sharing today is how all of our stories intertwine and how what Laura is doing has affected me and how what I'm doing has affected Katie and how what Katie's doing has affected Stacey. And then you imagine the impact back at our schools, because that's the thing. We have never been at the same school.
Never.
And so this connectedness and this collaboration has all happened digitally, virtually, right? Like we do that. And I just think, like, if we could only see the ripple effect of the work we do. And I love that you pointed out with our colleagues, because it's it is about students at the end of the day. But what we do with our colleagues affects their students. And I think that's one of those things that we need to grasp and hold on to and cherish, because the relationships that we build as educators is unlike anything else. So on that note, before we end, I want to know if you have any advice that you could give to either a future teacher or a current teacher that is teaching in the culture and climate that we're dealing with right now, because it's not a surprise to say it's difficult. There are very difficult days and difficult moments. So what is it that you could say to them that help you continue to find joy and continue to show up? So Laura,
I would say going piggybacking right on what you said is to lean in to your colleagues and that if you can find teammates or even across the hall mates or in the district mates, a coach, someone who you can connect with that you can share your woes and your, you know, troubles, and they might have a solution. They might have a suggestion, and to know that we all have the same goal in mind. Yeah. We want students to be successful, and we want to enjoy what we do every day. And so finding ways to brainstorm together, come up with strategies, sharing data charts, mm-hmm. you know, and anchor charts and all of the things. I mean, sure. we've done that a lot.
Yeah.
And
it makes the job easier.
For sure.
Because you're sharing the load. You don't mm-hmm. feel like you're doing it alone. You
right.
feel like you do truly have a network
yep.
that is there to support you and support the endeavors that you're doing in your classroom.
Yep. yep. For sure.
Anybody else, Katie?
I was going to say, so I mean, I think we all know and we all would agree that it's an incredibly challenging job sure, and an sure. incredibly challenging profession and also incredibly rewarding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so some days, like you're saying, it's harder to see that, you know, it's harder to see the fruits of your labor and to feel yeah. the, it can feel thankless sometimes.
Sure.
And knowing that just because you might not hear it or see it in the day-to-day doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah.
And so to just remember or use your colleagues as, or remember the stories of students mm-hmm. to know like you are making an impact. Mm-hmm. Today you might not see it in a way that's as visible as others, mm-hmm. but know that the work you're doing day in and day out, although draining at times, mm-hmm. is really filling to other people in
Absolutely.
Many other ways.
Yep. Stacey?
I have always said to tune out the noise.
Yes.
So I remember when I was becoming a teacher years ago, actually one of the high school teachers from my high school asked, like, are you sure you want to do that? You really want to be a teacher? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, I do. I really want to be a teacher. And I think it has such a negative connotation right now. It's mm-hmm. terrible. But if you really want to be a teacher, be a teacher. Because at the end of the day, we're there for the kids. We're there for the fun, the love, the joy.
Right.
And I think that people let the negative get into their heads. And that ends up curating, like, just
toxic
and yucky. Yeah. yeah the
environment.
Toxicity. Yeah.
The kids feel that.
Yeah, yeah. They absolutely do. But I think that finding the little things sure. each day, like the kids are like, I love reading now. I didn't used to love reading, yeah. but now I love reading.
Yeah.
It's the little things and not, it's not always the assessment mm-hmm. or the day to day. It's what have they done with what you taught them?
Absolutely.
How are they going out into the world and finding those little things? Like the kid that emails you mm-hmm. throughout right. the week or send mm-hmm. you a letter. Yeah. Like that's the joy in teaching. The
yeah. And I've heard it said, you know, like with the noise to build mm-hmm. a chorus to drown it out. And I think that's what we've done. We've
yeah.
built a chorus to drown out the noise and to remember our why and stay connected to it, which is the mm-hmm. joy of teaching every day, mm-hmm. every single day. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being
Thanks
here
for
today.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing your insight. And I look forward to continuing to follow your stories and see how you guys continue to be successful in Pinellas County. So thank you again for being here.
Thank
Stay
you.
Golden.
Thank you.
We just finished up our teacher section of Finding Joy in Education, hearing from some educators here in Pinellas County. So for our next segment, which is called Teach Hacks, we are joined by Julena Smith, the Director of Student Information Systems here in Pinellas County. Julena, before we dig in and talk about this new focus update, I ask every single guest this question. What's your story?
I would like to start with something I've heard Fresh Prince say. He started in West Philadelphia, born and raised, but in Pinellas County, born and raised, is my story from elementary school all the way through high school was my journey through education. And I'm so excited to be a part of the team that helped build me to where I am. It was that Pinellas County education that gave me the opportunity to teach in Florida and Georgia, as well as giving me the opportunity to coach and mentor and lead leaders across the country, as well as be innovative. And
I love it. Love mm-hmm. it. Love it. Love it. I love hearing our homegrown educators mm-hmm. that got their start here in Pinellas County and then came back to Pinellas mm-hmm. County to continue to, you know, pass it on to other people. So Julena, tell me about this new update that's coming out. I want to hear all about it.
Awesome. This update is something that I have heard from our families and teachers that this is something we really want. We are looking for ways to communicate efficiently and most importantly, safely
yes.
With our students between families and the school. And so this is going to be the answer to that.
Tell me more. What's it going to be able to do?
So in addition to some of these great features that teachers will love in the update and how it looks and feels and where some of the buttons are and the functionality, the communication tool and the upgrades to the app is going to make it easy for parents and students and teachers to communicate with each other, similar to text messaging.
Yeah. That's like everything that a teacher wants. A teacher mm-hmm. wants to be able to communicate. We want it at the ready. We want to be able to reach our families as quick as possible. So what Julina is talking about is our Focus version 12 update, which is coming. So when can we expect mm-hmm. this update?
We are going to launch this update coming up that weekend of February 16th.
I'm writing it down. Go ahead.
Yes, get ready.
So, Julina, how is this platform going to be user-friendly? What measures are we putting in place to make sure that all stakeholders feel comfortable mm-hmm. with it?
Well, we have been excited to launch some focus groups as well as user acceptance testing groups. And from those groups, we learned that lives, some Facebook Lives will be mm-hmm. a great way, updating our website to provide resources to families so that they can have those one-page documents to help them know how to navigate those new features, as well as providing tutorial videos.
I love it. So you heard that. Pay attention to Facebook and the Pinellas County website to look for some more information on this Focus update that is coming. One more question, Julina. I want to know about the language accessibility. As you know, we serve a very diverse community here in Pinellas County. So how are we going to handle the diverse needs within our schools?
One of the great features of the new upgrade for Focus is we will be able to translate any message that a teacher wants to send to a family in up to 40 languages at the click of a button.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. I love that. So everyone pay attention. February 16th, we're looking for the launch of our new Focus version 12 update. Julina, thank you so much for joining us here today. We appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing all the great features of our new Focus. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on episode one of Finding Joy in Education. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on our podcast, you may email us at podcast@pcsb.org. We look forward to seeing you again as we find joy in education.